Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Alice Vincent, arts and entertainment writer for the Daily Telegraph, to talk about the week in television. In our guide this week, we'll review the third series of Netflix's prison comedy, Orange is the New Black. We delve into a chilling world of robots with Channel 4's new sci-fi drama, Humans. And as True Detective is three episodes into its second series, we'll ask, is it as good as the first? That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Alice. Great to have you with us, as ever. Let's begin with Humans, a new drama by Channel 4, produced alongside AMC. Here in the UK, we're about halfway through the series, where the latest must-have gadget for any family is a synth, a highly developed robotic servant, eerily similar to a human being. I feel like I maybe know some people like that. As the series develops, the lines between people and robots become increasingly blurred. This definitely had the big build-up. It was being trailed for weeks and weeks.
Right.
The first episode got a lot of viewers by Channel 4's standards. Is it living up to those initial expectations, do you think?
I think it's really got people talking. And I think the thing that I most commonly overhear about it is people like, oh, it's a bit like Black Mirror, which is always a very good comparison. That was obviously Charlie Brooker's dystopian couple of short seasons, brilliantly original writing. I think why people are watching it is out of a weird mixture of fear and genuine interest in it, in that this is, you know, people are asking, is this a near future reality for us?
Well, I watched some kind of recent sort of cyborg world championship event where they're having to get robots to do things like open a door, and they couldn't even stand up. So I think we don't need to worry for a while yet. That's my non-professional verdict.
That's what they want you to think.
let's look at the origins of this, though, because actually the origins of a couple of the shows we're going to talk about are quite interesting.
Sure.
And this is based on a Swedish format, and people will say, oh, yes, this is how it works
now.
These Nordic stories come to us that was made in 2012. Did the writing team, have they had a hand in this? Do we know what the transition was like between the two programs?
I'm not entirely sure of the nitty-gritty of it, but you know, the Swedish one was called Real Humans, and it strikes, it's a kind of similar move that we've made with kind of the there was a French season about vampires, which was remade for American audience are often borrowing from European programs as well. And I think what they have done in this Humans is, if you've watched Real Humans, you can't expect the same plot lines. Like, they have tweaked certain things, and it's obviously been changed for, I think what's interesting is AMC are involved, but it's been made for a British audience, and they are in British households, and there's a British welfare state involved. And I think that's what makes it really interesting, and separates it from a lot of the American TV we watch, because it is so different.
Well, I was going to ask you, it's interesting you mentioned that idea about the welfare state. I remember watching the Paddington film recently,
right,
and it was obviously a sort of a study about migration. It was quite sort of weirdly powerful in its own funny way, and a lot of people have said this is the same, although it plays on some of those fears that we have about, you know, our robot overlords of the future. It is also, you know, allegorical. It's about people who are doing menial work and this kind of thing. Do you think it works? Is it the classic thing? It works on a couple of levels, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that is why it's got people talking. I mean, there are the kind of, there's the thriller elements of it, and there are, not to give too many spoilers away, but there's a kind of separate group of synths, and what are their intentions, and they're sentient, and that's going on under the surface. But yeah, I mean, you can make so many allusions to other very talked about cultural phenomena. You know, it's very similar to District 9, which is about another species coming into South Africa. It was a narrative for the apartheid. Or Dave Eggers' The Circle, this kind of, all these weird technological things, are we accepting them, are we fearful of them? There's so much talk about that.
Indeed. Well, let's have a little listen. This is a clip from Humans. Let's have a listen now.
Your brand new synthetic. Standard domestic profile installed. This is the best thing you will do for your family.
Hello, Joe.
We don't need one.
The health service hasn't ordered 500,000 of them for fun.
I'm happy with the one I've got.
I'm making you home somewhere.
There is no home for us.
There will be, I promise.
People have a right to know if their products are going to start strangling them.
What the hell are you?
You brought it into the house and we don't know anything about it.
It's a machine.
In the future, when technology surpasses us, we become inferior to the machine.
And as it always strikes me, it's interesting in these programs where you have essentially humans playing since Playing Humans almost, how to, you know, realistically portray that. How do you think the robot personas do? Because they're realised in quite actually a simple way. It's done with, you know, movements or gestures, but I think they're sort of pretty convincing.
Great.
It's a hard task though, I guess, for an actor to carry that off well.
It is. Gemma Chan, she plays the kind of the main domestic one who's causing conflict in an already kind of stretched household. And she's brilliant. She's kind of terrifying, but sexy, but, you know, unnerving and loving. And Colin Morgan, who's best known for being in the kind of historical fantasy program, whose name has escaped me, but he plays Leo, and he's very good in a similar way. And I think it's that they don't ham it up too much, but they are kind of convincingly similar to humans.
They are, and you can catch Humans and see for yourself how well they do. Sundays on AMC, if you're listening in North America, on Channel 4, as we mentioned, here in the UK. Let's move on next, Alice, talk about, most Netflix bingers will by now have worked their way through the latest season of the women's prison comedy drama Orange is the New Black, the third series of which takes the focus away from Piper and more on the rest of the inmates, so that instead of just this one key story arc, we're getting lots of smaller tales. Do you think that was quite a concerted effort by the producers, the showrunners, to try and sort of broaden out the scope, if you like, of this story?
I think they had to. I mean, the thing is with Orange is that since the kind of beginning of the second season, it has become more of an ensemble drama. And I feel by the third season that the showrunners really know that now. And to the extent that one of the most tragic moments of this season was to take one of those kind of outlying characters away. And I think that was a moment when maybe audiences realised this isn't just about Piper anymore. The trick which Orange does, if you haven't seen it, is that they will use flashbacks to the lives, the pre-prison lives of the prisoners. So you get this kind of slowly, like, rounded look into what got them there in the first place. And more interestingly, the conditions and the class issues and the welfare issues which put them in those situations.
You mentioned it's talking about some pretty hard-hitting issues, and it's an amazing sort of ensemble crew. Let's hear a little bit of them in action. This is from, the season ending with some of the women escaping through a fence, jumping into a lake, whilst prison officers are distracted with a busload of new inmates. Let's hear a clip of some of the inmates as they make a run for it.
Come on, y'all.
Oh, man, you too? Even if we don't get busted, you ain't worried about eels or some shit?
Man, ain't no eels in the Freedom Lake, man. Stop being such a stereotype.
One of them black bitches gonna get they shit drowned, and I ain't gonna be responsible. Look. Let's just be free for a second. It's gonna be the last time in a long time.
Now, you mentioned there, Alice, the idea of, you know, the risk, I guess, of killing off or removing from the front line of the plot certain key characters. Do you think we should prepare for more of the same? Because one imagines this is going to run and run, especially, as you say, now they've broadened this out a little.
Well, you can kind of see, as the season goes on, you can see who's kind of being brought to the fore and who's being kind of pushed to the side. But I think less kind of who is going to be taken away, and it's more the character development. I mean, Piper goes on a really interesting, quite unpleasant journey during this season, which I think for a lot of people might be difficult to watch or certainly intriguing. And it also kind of sums up how criminals and, you know, become more criminal in prison, perhaps. Everyone's going to be attached to different characters. There was an episode this season which was about the Chinese character Chang. And I saw someone complain on Twitter that, like, well, no one really needed a Chang episode, did they? I think, you know, everyone's going to have some they like and some they don't.
It just strikes me, when you're talking about sort of, you know, robot overlords and then, you know, the nitty-gritty of, you know, women's prison, do you think there is more of an appetite for people to, from audiences around the world, to really get stuck into some stuff that maybe is, as you've just said a minute ago, actually quite hard to watch? Do you think because we've got so many more channels, there's so much more to choose from, is that actually helping people, do you think, to maybe engage with stuff that maybe traditionally might have put, I don't know, you know, mainstream TV producers off a little?
Perhaps. I mean, the thing is with Netflix is that it has traditionally taken massive risks and it funnels enormous amounts of money into these bonkers projects which just take off. And I guess that's a benefit of subscription package TV, is that if they've got enough money, they can do it, like, you know, ambitious projects. As for whether people like darker TV, I mean, there's certainly a lot of it around at the moment, and it feels like there's been a lot of it around for a long time. It's a funny kind of escapism, but it seems to be working.
Indeed. Well, and we'll talk a bit more about that with our final pick. But if you want to hear more about all those new inmates and maybe discover what they're going to do next, you'll see that on the fourth season to hit Netflix. But you can watch 1 to 3 right now, of course. Alice, let's end with maybe the darkest of the dark dramas, True Detective. We talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago. In this new series, it's interesting. It was a successful, hugely successful run, but it's a new cast, a new story, a completely new program to all intents and purposes, swapping Louisiana for a more urban setting in California. We're approaching halfway in the 8-part thriller. Maybe just, I don't know, bring us up to speed with what season 2 is actually all about.
Okay, so you've got a gangster trying to go legit. He's with lots of money. You've also got that's played by Vince Vaughn, and then you have a few detectives. You've got this kind of, I mean, I'm reluctant to compare him to Matthew McConaughey's character of Russ, but I'm going to. Colin Farrell's character, who is a kind of ambivalent alcoholic, recently separated from his wife, miserable type. Rachel McAdams plays your classic hard-hitting, man-hating lady detective. And then you've also got this sort of very brutish, suffering, closeted homosexual guy making up the trio of police.
Do you think that's maybe a problem potentially for this season and for these characters you've described? The frame of reference is to look back at Matthew McConaughey, yeah, and to look back at Woody Harrelson and to think of how great that first series was, how new a lot of the dynamics seemed, and almost they're sort of downed by association. Was that a load that they were always going to be carrying, I suppose?
I think so, but it does seem cruelly ironic that, you know, the showrunners have done, you know, made an effort to make a completely different show. You know, this is it was always an anthology series, but this have very few links, you know, technically to the first. And yeah, of course everyone's going to compare them. Even if they made a completely new show, gave it a different name, people would compare them because True Detective was such a leviathan.
And tell me a little bit about the writer, the sort of creator, the creative force behind this, Nick Pozzolato, because he's been allowed to basically have free reign with this, right, kind of run with it. I can't think of many other, even creators of very successful dramas, who would have been given the license. Is that almost a problem? Do you maybe need some checks and balances to make sure that stuff stays at the same level?
Yeah, I mean, it is unusual because you've just got him, whereas normally a TV show you'd have a team of writers, and you've also only got one director in Cary Fukunaga, which is also very unusual. And that is, those two men were given so much credit for what they did in the first season, but I think with the second one, they've got less room to budge. And there are things like the third episode last night was just so overwhelmingly pretentious in my mind. And it was sort of like, well, you know, Pizzolatto is pretentious, but maybe he's kind of, yeah, as you said, if there was someone there calling him out on it, that might not happen. It's at risk of unintentionally parodying itself, I think.
Well, you've mentioned the most recent episode. Let's hear a little of it. This is from the recently aired episode 3. Let's have a listen.
What are you doing with my scene, Lieutenant?
One of my men gets shot. Better believe I'm on site.
This is too big to walk away from.
Are you Betty Chisani or state police, ma'am?
Detective comes into my house, harasses my wife, my children.
Pezzarides is walking the plank.
Who's coming after me?
Who?
You want to get over something, maybe remembering it in every detail ain't the right way.
Sounds kind of scary, but it's maybe scary for the wrong reasons. Do you think it's too soon to write this off? I mean, it is only 3 from 8. They've got time to sort of reel us back in. Or do you think the fact that incredible immediate impact that the first series had, almost from the first scene, the fact that we're 3 in and we're maybe not collectively feeling it is a lasting problem?
I think the thing is, in these situations, is to imagine you're watching it without having had any prior knowledge of it before. And in that case, if I was watching this, I'd probably think it was pretty good. I mean, the one thing that Pizzolatto has really picked up on this season is he's tightened up the actual kind of crime detective aspect of it. And therefore, it is pacey and it is more logical than kind of the slightly nuts stuff that was going on in the first season. And I think, yeah, if we were watching it without thinking of McConaughey and Woody Harrelson in our minds, then we'd think it was totally legit and we would carry on watching it and kind of want to see what happens.
A final thought. Vince Vaughn, I read a very interesting interview with Pizzolatto before, and he said, look, people are going to be really blown away by Vince Vaughn. They've forgotten that, you know, he was a really serious actor. He can do menace.
Yeah.
Again, I'm finding it tricky to get his sort of dodgeball persona out,
out
of my mind. do you hold out hope that we could see another side to him?
I think he's quite good. I think he's all right. Yeah, I think good for him. Yeah, I think you do, as you say, you have to get dodgeball out of your mind. But
that's never easy.
No, it's always in my mind. I think he's all right.
There you go. Well, that's good news for Vince, at
Luke
least.
Warm.
True Detective is ongoing, airs on HBO North America and Sky Atlantic here in the UK. That brings us to the end of today's show. Alice Vincent, thanks very much for coming to see us, as always. This has been the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow at The Week in Books, this time with Parul Segal. But for now, thanks for listening.